How could seeking Jesus ever be wrong? How could following Christ and searching for him elicit a correction from him? And yet that is exactly what we see in this text. The miraculous signs had occurred. Jesus had fed the 5,000, and then, as they were about to take him, he escaped from them by walking on the Sea of Galilee. Thereon, he came upon the disciples out on the water and scared them out of their wits. The next day, noticing that Jesus was gone, the crowd chased him down. They were seeking him. And what could be wrong with that? Jesus had fled them because they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, a bread king. They expended incredible amounts of energy just to make sure that they wouldn't have to work for their next meal. They were working hard. And that's the wrong way to seek Jesus. Seeking him only as a means to provide the things that do not last. That is man's work, seeking after the things that perish. And seeking after the things that perish results in human beings perishing. In the end, simple miracles themselves are not enough with human beings. They want certain kinds of miracles. The miracles that give them earthly things, money, bread, an easy life, etc. Think of the modern miracle workers who promise all sorts of healing and financial miracles for people. The signs themselves are insufficient. Only the more spectacular miracles will do. Bread, we might say, made either of flour or of green paper. The demands of this body and life trump everything else. Working hard to acquire these things is the work of man. It is what we spend our lives toiling after. No wonder they, and no wonder we, then cry out to Jesus. What must we do to be doing the work of God? That is, tell us what we should do, and we'll do it. This is the work of man. Put plainly and simply, they wanted bread. They had seen the bread, they had eaten the bread that Jesus provided, the physical bread, and this was enough for them. But they stopped short, as all human beings do, of seeking the true bread. Later in this chapter of John, Jesus makes it all clear. He says that he is the true bread from heaven, quoting him here, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Man's work, on the other hand, adds something to the work of God. As one writer unfortunately put it, it is not enough that we hear the word of God with our outward ear, but we must let it penetrate to our heart so that we hear the Holy Spirit speak there, that is, with vibrant emotion and comfort, feel the sealing of the Spirit and the power of the Word. Nor is it enough to be baptized, but the inner man, where we have put on Christ in baptism, must also keep Christ on and bear witness to him in our outward life. Nor is it enough to have received the Lord's Supper externally, but the inner man must truly be fed with that blessed food. The real power of Christianity consists of this, that is, the work of man. In contrast, listen to how Luther speaks of the work of God, specifically in the case of baptism, as he comments on Psalm 110, verse 3. Christians, or children of God, are made not by the power of or intellectual capacity of men, but only by the heavenly operation of the Holy Spirit, through the Word, the preaching of the gospel, and baptism. A human being is cleaned in baptism and becomes a saint in the hands of the priest, so that from a child of hell, he is changed into a child of God. In other words, this is the work of God, that you might believe in him who he has sent. At the risk of sounding like an eschatological nut, let me remind you that the end is near. The first day of spring quarter reminds us that the end of the academic year is nearly upon us. And for you fourth-year students, the end is very near. Just ask them, they'll tell you exactly how many days until call day. Call day, graduation, ordination will be upon you before you know it. Now, and be honest here if you would, are you really ready to go? I don't mean, I've had enough of this place and I want to get in the real world in the parish. I mean, are you really ready to go? Are you fully prepared to have Christ's yoke placed upon you and to be his under-shepherd? Are you confident that you are ready to face every theological question that comes your way? You're not. Your recent TI proved that. In all seriousness, are you ready to deal with broken lives, broken hearts, broken minds, broken bodies, and broken homes? When people will turn to you alone, as their only source of spiritual well-being. That is an overwhelming prospect. And if that's not the way you feel now, you will, trust me. However, remember the unwavering promise of Christ. This is the work of God, that you might believe in him who he has sent. Those of you who are called into the pastoral ministry will do the simple miracles. Yes, they will deal with bread and wine, but not the bread and wine that perishes, rather the very bread of life, the blood shed, the true body and blood of the one who perished for us and who now is imperishable. You will participate in the simple miracle of word and water that forgives sins and places the name of God upon the human subject, making that person a child of God. You will speak a simple, miraculous word of the gospel of forgiveness for Christ's sake, and faith will be created and sustained, giving the imperishable gift, the presence of Christ himself. There are some ways of seeking Jesus that miss him. Rather, seek God where he is to be found. In the bread of life that gives life to the world, in the river of the water of life flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the words that Christ has spoken, which are spirit and life. God does his work in you. God will do his work through you. This is the work of God, that you might believe in him who he has sent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.